Here we have Rob and Heidi Shore.
From Bolton, the
from
most
Bolton,
anointed
Ontario.
Town in Ontario.
And you should be honored because Rob is not wearing his standard uniform, which is a denim jacket. And I've never seen him without it. So... Heidi's happy. Okay, Rob's going to share with you quickly. He has a mission in India, but he's going to share a little bit about his story, and we love stories of God doing amazing stuff. So, Rob, bless you.
Thank you. My name is Robert Shaw, and this is my home church. I got saved in this church. I married a woman from this church, and I have many friends in this church. I could talk about India for hours, but I've only got a few minutes. So about 10 years ago, this church sent out a team to this village in India that I work in now. And all I knew about this village at the time was that the woman who led the mission, it was her grandparents who were the original missionaries there. They built the first church and hospital and school. And as I've gone back over the years, I've found that they had a revival in 1906, like Azusa Street, and the Holy Spirit came to 7 villages in this area, and they had a great revival in this particular part of India. Now, this village that I work in is called Akividu, and it's famous now for one thing. The saying now is that all evil comes from Akividu. So there's been a lot of infighting in the church, and the church has split at least a dozen times. So there's incredible disunity in this church. So when I lived in the village, the Holy Spirit gave me a dream one night. And he showed me a picture of a man in a frame. And the man was real in the picture. And I said, Holy Spirit, who is this man? And he spoke from off the right to me. He said, as I work through you in this part of India, this is who the enemy works through. This is the person who's causing the cursing and disunity in the church. So I said, you know, who is he? Why won't you tell me who he is? He says, until you gather the pastors together in unity, I will not tell you who he is. So over the years, I've half-heartedly tried to do this, gather the pastors. But in the last trip to India, in March, in the major city close to this village, they had a meeting of about 150,000 people, and a lot of the major ministries came, and they all kept telling how unity is the key issue here. We have to gather together in unity and stop quarreling and bickering if we're going to defeat the enemy. So the Holy Spirit says to me, okay, I want you to do this. So we're trying to have a meeting of the pastors within a 100-mile radius of this village, gather them together and repent, come together in unity, and redig the wells that are in this area. And we've had a lot of prophetic words, and other people have had prophetic words that we're hearing correctly, and that the Lord is going to come mightily to this area and redig the wells. And we're going to see revival come again to this part of India. I'm totally off course here when I was going to prepare.
That's why you have notes, Rob.
And I haven't looked down
and
yet.
Holy Spirit.
Yes, Holy Spirit said, speak from your heart. So also in the time that we've spent there, I have a heart for the children of India, probably because growing up, I was in an orphanage when I was young. And I didn't have any spiritual guidance when I grew up. I didn't really have parents that, you know, told me what to do was right and wrong. And when I was 19 years old, I went to India. I had my own gang. I was a hash smuggler. And I traveled to India on the wrong side, doing things. And quickly, a quick story is when I was in Delhi, the capital city, one day I was walking in the main market, and this little child came up to me and tugged on my pant leg. And she kept saying, bakshish. And when I first got there, I used to give the children money. But after a while, you get so tired of it. And the child was holding another child, about a year old, in her arms. And she kept following me for blocks, saying, give me money. So as I walked along, this young man stepped out of the crowd. It was blonde hair, dressed in white, blue eyes. And he totally was out of place in this crowd. And he said to me, would you help spread the name of Jesus through India? And I said, I don't think so. And then he gave me a pamphlet, and he said, would you like to help pay for the printing of this pamphlet? And I said, yeah, right, okay. So I took a coin out of my pocket, which was like a penny, which was almost an insult, and I gave it to him. And he took the coin and gave it to the child. He put it in her cup. And she looked at him, like gave him a look like worth $1 million. And then he looked at me, and he didn't say it in words, and he didn't say it in anger. He looked at me, and he said, mind to mind, he said, are you ever poor, my friend? And it went through my heart. So I went back to the hotel. And the guys in my gang were saying, you know, like, what's happened to you? You know, you obviously had something happen. You're obviously shaken. And I told them this story. And they were like, well, and it stuck with me all my life. I mean, for 30 years, I kept thinking about this. And the Holy Spirit says, why do you think that this impacted you so much? It's because he was one of mine. So the Lord's called me back. I have such a heart for the children of India now that I just want to serve him there. But the bigger picture is that we need to bring revival to India. So we're having a luncheon. I'm going back on the 30th. We're having a luncheon on the 28th after the service. All the campuses are invited. It's going to be Indian food. We're paying for the luncheon because that's just the way it is. And we're hoping to take up an offering after the luncheon. We've seen many, many miracles in India. The Lord's doing amazing things. We've seen blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, lame walk, cancer healed, paralysis healed. And we're believing for even bigger things. We've had words that in this meeting that we were going to see the cloud of God come to the meeting, and that the fear of the Lord was going to come to this area of India, and that the politicians would even be afraid to interfere in what the Lord is doing. So we welcome your prayers. We welcome, if you want to come, we welcome your support.
Rob, how do they sign up for that meal? Do they just arrive, or is there...
Yes, we'd like you to let us know. There's a table at the front if you're going to come, because we have to know. Yes, we'll be out in the front.
Now, if you don't like Indian food, still come. You know, I know Sandra would just give it away to Darren. He'll eat double, you know.
We're also trying to raise money for, at Christmas time, we like to buy the children a new set of clothes, new shoes, and have a couple of special meals, which is basically just a normal meal to us, meat, vegetables, rice, and a dessert. And to do this, it costs about $5,000 just to do this for the 150 children that we support. So this is...
So you're outside in the foyer over there.
And we can give you more information outside if you come.
Is that where the people sign up as well? Okay, so if you want to sign up for that meal, Heidi and Rob are in the foyer afterwards.
Can we have some cell leaders and people, if you want to go down the bottom there? And I don't just want you to pray for them. I want you to begin to declare things over them and prophesy over them. So if you're prophetic, no, we're all prophetic. Cell leaders, would you come and just gather around them? And
all right, yeah. Before Steve taken? Comes up...
Laura, yeah.
Yes, okay. Before Steve and Laura, one thing I've forgotten to do, we'd like visitors, actually the whole church family, this is in the front pouch of the chair in front of you. Please take it out and fill it out and put it in the offering. We're going to be doing the offering in a moment. This gives us an idea how to pray for you. Steve and Sandra and a few of our pastoral team, the meets on Monday and then again on Tuesday. So fill it out. If you're a regular church member, you just put your name. If you want us to pray for you, put the prayer request at the back. If you're a visitor, give us your details so we can contact you. And there is normally a free gift to be given away. But I don't have anyone in the front row to confirm that right now. So, and I can't see anything. Laura. Oh, Laura's got a mic. Laura is a School of Ministry student. No, she is a small group leader. So Laura is sharing the offering talk with us today. Yes, you can give her a clap. It's awesome to have her stepping up and doing this.
Good morning, everybody. All right, I was talking to the Lord last night about what he wanted me to speak on this morning, about offering. Because I've been told my whole life, you know, I'm a pastor's kid, so I've heard all the offering talks and all the tithe talks and all the things that you can hear. And I was like, Lord, what is your heart for offering? Where did you say in the Bible that we should give you an offering, and how should we give you an offering? So I went, and I like to do research. So I researched what an offering is. And it says it is something to present as an act of worship or devotion. And I typed it in, you know, looking around, seeing what God would say about it. And he brought me to Exodus 25, 1 to 2. And it's where the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give." So I was like, oh, God, like for, you wanted Moses to take the offering for you, which is what we do as a church. We take the offerings that you give for God. And one of the things that really stood out to me was the want to give, the heart of the man prompts him to give. And so I really want you to think today, Lord, what do you want me to give? What is the inner desire of my heart to give to you? What is that offering? You know, it doesn't have to be money. It doesn't. It can be time or worship or even loving somebody else. And it looks so different for so many people. For me, it is worship. What I give to God, my offering, that is where I can say, okay, God, this is what I have to give to you. I don't necessarily have all these funds that I can just pour in and pour in. Yes, I give what I can, but what is really impacting me is my offering of worship. So I just want to encourage you throughout the week, you know, that no matter where you are, you can take 5 seconds and give him an offering. And an offering can look like, God, I love you today. Taking 5 seconds in the grocery store, maybe looking around and saying, okay, God, here I am. This is what I have to give. I have 5 seconds of my time. I have 10 minutes of my time. I have an hour of my time. So I just want to encourage you, it doesn't always look like money or things to give, but it looks like what you have. What you have in your heart, what you want to give, is that offering. So if I could get the kids with the buckets. And I'm just going to pray. Father God, we just ask that you would come right now. Holy Spirit, begin to prompt us about what we have to give that you would love, Father God. About those things that are our desires, our heart's desires to give to you, Father. And we just ask that you would do this not only today, not only this one time in church, Father God, but throughout the week, Father. For those 5 minutes or those 10 minutes of time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Excellent. Thank you, Laura. So for those of you that are those of you that are newcomers and church family, if you filled in those cards, just put those in the offering bucket as well as they go by. On Monday, our prime minister, before he headed off to Indonesia and then to, is it Korea, where they had the G20, most recent G20, gave a speech related to the Holocaust. And you'll remember if you were here last Sunday that we had a lady that is a Holocaust survivor here. And I had planned to show, but we're just running out of time, so we won't do this. We'll put a link on our website of this speech that our prime minister gave in Ottawa to one of the congresses that was gathered to talk about anti-Semitism. And Jason Kenney, who's been here several times, and Mario Silva, who's a liberal government leader who's been here as well. Both those gentlemen were the ones who were leading this. And Prime Minister Harper basically stood up and said, here is why Canada supports the nation of Israel. And he had an amazing speech just about, he was basically saying that God requires it without mentioning the name of God. And he was just talking about all the different kind of things and how Canada has to stand with the nation of Israel, even if there are things that the nation of Israel is doing that are offensive, that people find difficulty with. And so in the United Nations, in this last year, there are many, many times when the only nation that has stood with Israel when a sanction has been offered or issued has been Canada. And he talked about how how he is personally taking flak as the Prime Minister of Canada for the position that we're doing, and other nations are picking on Canada, as it were, and saying, why would you do this? Why would you support these people? And so we were planning to show that. We don't have time to do that. But I do have a little talk to you that talks about why do Christians support the nation of Israel. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And Sue, if you don't mind putting my notes up on the screen so we can zip along real quick. Number one, we've got 5 reasons this morning. We're going to talk about them real quick. Number one is God blesses those who stand with the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. And going all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, when God began the Jewish nation through Abraham, he said this. God said, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. And then you get, there are just hundreds of passages in the New Testament and the Old Testament talking about that every person, Jew or Gentile, and by the way, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's most of us. How our destiny, how it is important for us to do this. And in the scriptures, it talks about that prosperity comes for those who bless Israel. I don't know if you've noticed, but most of the rich people in the world are Jewish. Did you know that? Not too many Jewish people that are on unemployment and on the poverty line and things like that. They're very prosperous people, partly because God has been teaching them, God has been inspiring them, God's blessing is on them. And even there's a verse in the Psalms that says, if you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they prosper who love you. Those that love Israel, those that love Jerusalem and pray for its peace, prosperity comes to them. That's a good thing, isn't it? Would you like to have your wealth protected a little bit more by God? Nobody? Okay, I'm into that. So this is one of the reasons why we're to be blessed in the nation of Israel. Number two, this is an interesting one. There were some Jewish people that went to Jesus and begged him and said, there's a Roman centurion, not a Jewish man, and he is sick. And they came to Jesus and said, he deserves a supernatural healing. This man deserves a miracle. And the reason why? He loves our nation. And that was enough to turn the heart of Jesus to go and minister to this man. And this guy is one of the first Gentiles to get his healing. Was because Jewish people said, this man loves our nation. He helped to finance our synagogue. He just stands with us. And Jesus was convinced to minister to this guy. There's only a couple people that were not Jewish people that Jesus ministered to. And this is one of them. The second thing that talks about in the scriptures is in the book of Romans, Paul says that as Christians, we owe the Jewish people a big debt. And so the verse goes like this. They were pleased to do it. The Gentiles were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. And so Paul is encouraging people that there's a, because of what the Jewish people have invested into Christians and the church and all of the investment into God's people, as Gentiles, we have a little bit of a duty to bless this nation. And when we look at our history, look at all the different things, like the scriptures come from Jewish writers. The prophets were Jewish. The patriarchs were Jewish. The apostles were Jewish. Did you know that salvation, a rabbi by the name of Jesus said salvation is from the Jews. Did you know that? And so Paul is picking up on this and saying, friends, we need to treat the Jewish people well. We need to stand with them. We need to believe with them. Number three, did you know that Jesus was a Jewish person? And there's just a whole list of the different things that are talked about in Scripture. The Bible does not hide that Jesus was a Jew. Doesn't hide that at all. And in fact, it's just it's an obvious statement that this is who Jesus was. This is his heritage. Here's who he was. He wore a prayer shawl like the Jewish men were asked to do. And on his cross, a Gentile wrote, King of the Jews. So even that person, Pilate, was acknowledging this guy has a special calling on his life. Number four, I love this one. The very first Gentiles to get the Holy Spirit was a Gentile man, a non-Jewish man, who loved the nation of Israel and who stood with him. In fact, when Peter is contemplating going to this person's house, an angel actually talks to Peter and says, this man needs to have you come. This man deserves to have you come because he loves our nation. He loves our people. And it's almost like that centurion passage from Luke. And the scriptures are in chapter 10, verse 2, in verse 4, and in verse 31. It talks about how this man has devoted himself to God and following after God and blessing the Jewish people. And he's the first one to get the Holy Spirit. So would you like to have a little bit more of the Holy Spirit? It would seem to be that if you bless the nation of Israel, you qualify to get special treatment from God. An angel said, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. And the last one is every nation was founded by men, men and women. But God was the one who established the nation of Israel. It's the only nation that God says that he started. And God spoke to Abraham and said, everything I'm giving you is going to go to your descendants. And in chapter 13 of Genesis, it says, the Lord said to Abram, look around you from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring for how long?
Forever.
So this is something that God has established. God has established this nation. Nations come and go. It is one of the most, big miracle. One of the greatest miracles in human history is how the nation of Israel has come together again after centuries of not being a nation. And how they came back to the very same land that they're in and came back to the very same language, even though their language was dead. Nobody spoke their language. And God has just been drawing people, and the Jewish people have been doing Aliyah, which is regathering. And they're just called by the Spirit of God to go back into that nation. And how the destiny of Israel, the Bible seems to teach from the Old Testament prophets, that once this nation gathers together, we need to be getting ready for the return of Jesus. The establishment of Israel as a nation is in the Bible as a prophetic statement to say God is ready to come and visit his people again. Not this time as a little baby, this time as a judge. And the Bible says, seems to imply in the prophetic words as well, that Israel will never again be defeated. And so if you go to Israel, there's memorials and there's history of just spectacular modern-day miracles that have happened as God has protected his nation. For example, when the nation became a nation in 1948, the United Nations made a decree and said, okay, they're back in. But the other people around did not like that. And there was war and war and war, and they had no army. They had no police. They had no resources to protect themselves. And yet they persevered. In 1967, the nations around, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, all attacked Israel on one of their holy days when they were all praying, fasting, no one was prepared, and there was a six-day war. Do you know why it was a six-day war? Because it only took Israel 6 days to beat up everyone else. In 6 days. And there's stories of the tanks from Syria coming down from the north, and a Jewish general by the name of who's the guy who had the eye patch? Moshe Dayan. If I remember the story right, he's in charge of the tanks. He's in charge of defending the northern border, and all these tanks are coming down, and they have nothing to defend themselves. And they're coming through these harvest fields. And his thought is a verse in the Bible of God doing different things. And so they lit the fields on fire and burned up all the tanks. Not one shot was fired. And the whole Syrian army is wiped out. Like, that's a modern day Old Testament story, isn't it? Of how God defeats the nations. And God has preserved this country. And it would appear that as followers of Jesus, that God not only has preserved this country, but he's requiring his followers to bless this nation and to follow after them. And so I don't make an apology as a pastor of this church to say that we're very happy to pray for the nation of Israel. We devote a prayer time once a month on a Sunday afternoon to do that. We're very happy to focus meetings on a regular basis to have, this year we had the council general. We had last week a lady who's Jewish talk about the Holocaust. We're very happy to support the nation of Israel. And in our city, as a church, we are known as a friend of the Jews. We're known, in fact, when the council general came here earlier this year on the 60th anniversary of the nation of Israel, and he asked his Jewish friends and said, I'd like to go to a Christian church to celebrate the anniversary. Is there a Christian church that likes Jewish people? Oh, yeah, you need to go to that airport church. Every friend he asked told him about the airport church. And he contacted a couple of people who are members of our church. Donna Holbrook, who leads our intercession for Israel. He contacted an Egyptian, Majid Al-Shafai, who's part of our church, that he knew. And he said, could he come? And as a church, our destiny is not to be Jewish. We're Gentiles. And yet, There's also the Bible saying that there's coming a day when the Jews and the Gentiles are coming together like never before. And so occasionally we have Jewish bands. Occasionally we have Jewish dancing. Occasionally we have Jewish meals. But we certainly love to celebrate what God has in these people and the destiny that God has for this nation. I didn't finish reading that passage. It says, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. And it would seem like wherever the Jewish people step into, God's favor is there. When Council General was here in May, he talked about that there are more patents in the nation of Israel than there are in any other nation in the world. More inventions taking place. The revelation that God is giving to his people is just spectacular. They're leading the world in technology, information technology inventions and that kind of stuff. And just a very few people, God's hand is on. And so I was very proud as a Canadian on Monday to hear the Prime Minister's speech. And if you got the National Post the very next day, headline, it says, Prime Minister supports Israel. And just big statement. And the link that we're going to give you that on our website, you can see his speech or you can read his speech. And just, again, he's basically saying the very things that are in the Bible without giving Bible as his quotations, just talking from a historical point of view, that it's important to stand with the nation of Israel. I would like you, if you have any kind of business, you have stocks, you have any kind of investment, you're involved in management in your company, if you've got a senior kind of position, can I get you to stand up? Did I make myself clear? If you have a business, you're involved in management of someone else's business, or you have any kind of stocks or bonds or investments, can I get you to stand up? Because I would like to go back to the second prayer here, sorry, the first prayer, about prosperity comes. And I just want to have the people around you just lay their hands on you, and we want to just pray for you for prosperity. We want to pray for God's hand on your life. So if someone's standing near you, can you just go and put your hand on them? That was an amen. That's how the Holy Spirit says amen. Find someone who's standing. Father, we want to bless these men and women that they be able to enter into a higher level of prosperity, a higher level of God's favor coming on you. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would be able to give them ideas as well for the businesses that they own and manage on behalf of others. Father, we bless those of you that are working for other people in a senior role, we bless you to be a great steward. And just like Joseph in the Old Testament, a Jewish boy in an Egyptian home, was able to bring the favor of God into that home, and Potiphar knew that the blessing of God is on my home, and blessing of God was on his finances and all those different kind of areas. For those of you that manage on behalf of someone else, we bless you to bring favor. We bless you as a person today to be able to, just in your own devotions, occasionally just to say, Father, I bless the nation of Israel. I pray for its peace. And the Bible seems to say that as you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that blessings begin to come to you. Those of you that have stocks, those of you that have investments, we're asking, Father, that as their portfolio moves around, or maybe you have it stayed on one particular area, but Father, we're asking that you would guide their investors to be able to put the money in the right place. Father, we're asking for prosperity to come. We're asking, Father, that you do this as a statement to these men and women and to others that God is alive, God is real, and God is able to do this kind of stuff. There's another group that Sandra would like to pray for right now.
I was feeling to pray for people, and I know it's very specific, and hopefully you don't mind standing, but there's people in here that have gone bankrupt and have lost everything. And so when we're praying for businesses, and these were people that really, when they were working, had money. They were blessed in their companies. Some of them are retired now, and I would like to pray for you this morning. And so if you are courageous enough, would you stand up? Yeah.
If you've had a bankruptcy at any point in your life or your business has had a bankruptcy, can I get you to stand up? Okay, there's a few people over here, over here, over here. So if you're by one of these people, look around you, because some, maybe the person is beside you. Just find someone who's standing.
Yeah.
And God's the restorer.
And remember, nobody's looking at you going, oh my goodness, you went bankrupt. You didn't. There's no judgment. Father, I'm asking right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would just lift off any shame or pain that has come through this bankruptcy. Father, I just break off the power of that word off of their lives and their finances right now. Father, I thank you that these are godly men and women of integrity, Father, where you have restored them. And Lord, I'm just praying for restoration over them right now. Father, I'm asking that you would just come and bless their finances. Father, I'm praying, Lord, where they sit here and they listen about offering talks and blessing, you know, companies, Father, and they're going, well, we have nothing. And Father, I'm praying that you would just come and you would take their nothingness, Lord, and you would just give them, allow them to be fruitful, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them with finances in a way that they have never expected. Father, I pray that you would just come in and break through right now. And I just feel like the Lord is just roaring over your finances right now. He's coming and he's breaking it off right now. And he's saying, no more shame. No more anxiety, no more lack in your life. And he's saying, I'm coming and I've set you free. So, Father, I ask right now that you would come and set them free, Father. And the power of that weightiness that has been on them lifts off of them right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, that you would come and restore to them a thousandfold to them, Lord. And that their children would inherit a great inheritance, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's go one step further. If you have a big debt, not just, you know, like a Visa bill with $500 and you haven't paid it off this month yet, but if you've got, not a mortgage, but if you've got an additional debt that is almost going to be impossible for you, it's maybe taking 2 or 3 years to repay it, can I get you folks to stand up? If you've got debt other than mortgage... Okay.
And again, you know what? Sometimes, you know, they're just stand up. Nobody's looking. Okay.
Well, I'm looking, but I'm looking good. I'm not looking bad. Those of you in your seats, I now need you to look and find someone who's close to you and go and put your hand on their back as well.
Yeah, nobody's judging. Yeah.
Can I get you, those of you standing, one of the things that may be a secret for you is to pray a little bit more for the nation of Israel. Pray for the peace and the prosperity of Israel. Pray for the prime minister. Pray for the people that live there. And by the way, it's not just Jewish people that live in Israel. There's Palestinians, there's Arabs. It's a very multicultural nation now. Christians are there, obviously, as well. Muslims, Hindus. But specifically, as we bless Jerusalem, as we bless the Jewish people, God says he's able to bring blessing. He's able to bring prosperity. So this may be one of the things that if you're not in the habit of doing, I want to encourage you to begin to do that. And Father, you're the one who can open the windows of heaven. And we bless you to do that over these men and women. Spirit of God, would you come? Father, speak to them about what they need to do. And if you remember a few weeks ago, we had Joy, one of the ladies in our church, gave a testimony of how God told her some very drastic things to do, and within a year, she cleaned off $60,000 of debt.
And Lord, I thank you for the power of testimonies, and I was just reading, I was on Bill Johnson's website, and there was a testimony about a pastor, and he got a key to releasing finances in a life, and within a week, he was debt-free in every area. And so, Father, we just claim that over these people right now. Father, I'm asking that as they have been faithful, Lord, in giving and faithful in blessing with their time, Lord, in every way, Lord, I pray that you would come. And, Lord, today you have given them a key, Lord, and that you would just unlock those doors and those opportunities, Father. And, Lord, that you would come and there would be abundance and favor on your kids today.
Amen. You can sit down. And everyone who needs a health miracle, can I get you to stand up? If you need a healing in your body, can I get you to stand up? And can I invite, if you have been diagnosed by a doctor with cancer or have a tumor in your body, can I get you folks to just come to the front because we want to pray for you especially? And do you remember where the oil went, Sandra? We want to pray for people. Is it down there? Okay. If you've been diagnosed with cancer or have tumors in your body, can I get you to come to the front? Those of you that feel that God's given you an anointing to pray for people who have cancer, tumors, I'd like you to come up to the front and just help to lay hands on these people. If someone's standing near you, ask them what the sickness is, what the pain is, and then if it's appropriate, put your hand on their body this morning. And friends, the first Gentile in the Bible who was healed, because you remember when Jesus was, there was a Syrophoenician lady that came to Jesus one day and said, could you minister to my demonized daughter? And remember what Jesus' response to her was? I'm sorry, I can't. We're just ministering to Jewish people right now. And she called out, remember she said, even the dogs get crumbs. Remember that? And so she got her healing, even though right then it was just Jewish people that were being ministered to by Jesus. But the very first Gentile, the first exception to the rule, was a man who loved the nation of Israel. And it would seem that healing comes in a greater way for people who love the nation of Israel. And so those of you standing, can I encourage you in your prayers this week, just say a little prayer for Israel. Bless the nation of Israel this week. Ask for wisdom for their leaders. Ask for discernment. Speak a blessing over that nation. And it would appear that as you do that, that's one of the ways which you open up your own body to receive healing. So Holy Spirit, come with these men, with these ladies that are standing. Father, those that are at the front that have tumors or cancer, Holy Spirit, would you come and bring healing, rush into their bodies. Father, we thank you for Maria's testimony this morning, lung cancer, and God's just dramatically healed her without any chemotherapy, without any medication. Father, we say that you are able. There's no reason why healing cannot happen. There's no reason why the miraculous can't happen for you, and it can't happen today. So Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you, Father. Welcome your presence. Welcome you to do miracles for each person that's here. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Church, I'd like you to stand up and grab one person's hand. And if you got lots of friends, grab five. No, you can't do that. You can only got two hands. Just close your eyes. We're going to welcome the Holy Spirit to come. Almost everyone in this room is probably a Gentile. And Cornelius, the very first Gentile to receive the Holy Spirit, was probably first on the list because, again, he's someone who loves the nation of Israel. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and fill us again right now. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, Jews and Gentiles. One of the most liberating words that Paul ever had in the book of Galatians. And he says, there's no longer male nor free, Jew nor Gentile. Sorry, I think I said it wrong. Male or female, Jew or Gentile, slave nor free. And in Christ, we're together. And the Holy Spirit is no respecter of persons. And he loves to come to every single one. But at the same time, it seems like there are some openings and some doors that say, if you do these things, you get a little bit more. You get a little bit more. You get a little bit more. And so, Father, as we bless your nation, we bless the nation that you called out, the people group that you called out, a very interesting group that seemed to gather the offense of the world. As we bless your people, your Holy Spirit's able to come to us. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Wash over us again. Fill us again. Father, may the blessing of Aaron in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, that your face shines on us. That's all about favor. Father, may your face shine on us this week. May we be lit up. May we be glowing this week because of the presence of God, the favor of God, the closeness of God, his presence on us. Spirit of God, would you come and just like like a perfume, as it were, all over us, that people just sense something, they see something, they know something. Holy Spirit, come. Pour out in your people. Fill us again today, Daddy. And Father, we do bless the nation of Israel. We bless all the people groups that are living in that country. We bless your destiny on that nation today. We ask for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, or can't remember exactly how I say his name. It's one of the names I haven't been able to pronounce yet. We bless that man, Father. We bless the different ambassadors that are all over the nations. Father, we bless our Prime Minister today, who has chosen to stand up, and even in the United Nations many times, Canada is the only nation to stand with Israel. And we say, Father, God bless our Prime Minister for doing that. Father, all over the world are Jewish people. We're asking that you would take them into their fuller destiny to know that Jesus is the Messiah. Father, may they take that next step that the Bible says there's one day when all of Israel will be saved, is a prophetic word. And Father, we speak that into being and saying, Father, in our lifetime, may all of Israel, all the Jewish people, may they be saved. May they come into the kingdom of God, come into their destiny. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you. Fill us again. Fill us again today, Daddy. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh. Just linger in his presence just for a little second here. Come, Holy Spirit. I was a greeter at the door today, and because Darren and Daphne were leading the meeting, I didn't have to come down and sort of get my seat until later. And just even while I wasn't concentrating, you know, just sort of shaking hands with people, the worship experience that we had today, and Darren and Daphne just pushing us into the presence of God, like without even trying to feel God's presence, I was feeling God's presence at the door. And so, Father, we just want to thank you that you like to inhabit amongst us. Father, we thank you for our band this morning. We thank you for Darren and Daphne just not being afraid to take us deeper into the presence of God. Father, we try to honor you and honor your spirit. Whatever you're doing, we want to follow. Father, as individuals, may we do that this week. And may your face shine on us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.